This is The Veterinary Project, episode 004.
Welcome to the show created by vets featuring absolutely no pets. This is The Veterinary Project podcast, hosted by Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light. Our resident veterinarians have swapped out their stethoscopes in favor of microphones to bring you The Veterinary Project podcast, a show focused on real conversations, aimed to connect this amazing profession full of remarkable people. Through the sharing of collective stories and wisdom, and connecting over the many unique challenges we face, we invite you to join our community of veterinary professionals leading intentional lives. And now, here are the hosts of the Veterinary Project podcast, Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Veterinary Project. You're joined by Dr. Jonathan Light, as well as Dr. Michael Bug. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Johnny. It's a great day.
Excellent. You look fantastic. What's happening in your life right now?
Just kind of plugging away on the real estate side. I'm doing a lot of paperwork around refinancing, which is just trying to free up cash to buy more property.
Okay.
And I guess on the daily to-do list, today's cardio day, so I have to hit the assault bike. It's a love-hate relationship. I'm not looking forward to it.
So many people on this podcast, and rightfully, truthfully, myself as well, what the heck is an assault bike?
It's a bike that assaults you, I think. It's the ones
that's like what it sounds like.
With the pedals and the handles. I don't know. It's just really difficult.
So like the 1960s jazzercise lady that's going back and forth like this? Is that what you're going to look like in a few hours?
I guess. Yeah, you bet.
Awesome. Okay, well, that sounds not like fun at all, but good on you for keeping with it. Again, excellent episode, or excellent guest with us today. But in advance of bringing our guest on, we're going to move over to the quick tip. Mike, what's our quick tip for today?
Today's quick tip has had a huge impact on my life, and it's simply a daily gratitude practice. One of my favorite resources is the 5-minute journal. There's something about actually writing it down, you know, every morning and every night. What are you grateful for? That's had a huge impact on my life. I probably started it like 2 years or so ago, and highly recommend it to everyone.
Nice. Love this quick tip today. Well, let's get into it. Our guest for today is Dr. Daniel Katz, 2016 OVC grad, who immediately upon graduating moved to Calgary, Alberta, to work in a very busy ERGP practice. He also speaks very highly of public health externship, where he was at the World Health Organization headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland. He has traveled to 11 countries throughout vet school with assistance of awards and travel and bursaries, of which we're going to get into today. He was the president of Global Vets at OVC and has continued yearly on veterinary volunteer trips around the world, including 4 trips to Belize, back to Ecuador and Colombia, where he's going to be going in March of 2021. Again, currently a full-time veterinarian at a busy 24-hour ERGP practice in Calgary, has also started a locum business operation, which we're going to speak about today as well. On top of that, launched a laparoscopic surgery business in 2018. You're going to find him a very interesting individual who is always looking at today as an opportunity for what can be done today and going into the future. So without further ado, welcome Dr. Daniel Katz. Dr. Dan Katz, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, guys. Absolutely stoked to be here.
Really pumped to have you on our show. And let's get into it a little bit. For our listeners, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you came from, and what brought you to this point in your career in life.
Yeah, so I am Ontario Vet College graduate of 2016. And, you know, I get the question all the time, what are you doing out here? What brought you out here? So, you know, I had some buddies who moved out here just prior to me graduating, and they were sending me, you know, skiing videos and hiking videos. And, you know, I thought, you know, it was a good time in my life to try something new and move somewhere, take a risk. I had a sweet ER opportunity that came about.
Hey, and sorry, Dan, just for the listeners, where are you right now?
Calgary, Alberta.
Calgary.
Yeah, nice. There we go.
So yeah, I just had some buddies that preceded me out here, and I thought, you know what, it's a good time in my life to try living somewhere new, and I took a chance on it.
Had you ever been out here before coming out?
Just for the interview. I was
that's it.
I was sitting in a Muskoka chair in Guatemala with some buddies after vet school, and got a call from one of the vets at the clinic saying we'd like to interview you. So we chatted on that chair for a few minutes, and epic place. Look up La Fortuna, sweet little lodge in Guatemala. And then the interview went great. I said I'd fly out and do a job shadow, and that was it.
And they picked you up. So you're a 2016 grad. So on your 4.5 anniversary, so to say, right now, how's the last 4.5 years treated you?
Yeah, really good. I've been doing a lot of different things. Part of why I chose that job was really busy practice. ER mixed general practice, had referral capabilities with two specialists. And I thought, you know, this would be an awesome opportunity for me to jump into a clinic with just an absolute intense caseload, without being a specific internship program. Just with the type of vets and quality of specialists they have there, it kind of offered a similar experience for me. So it was just a great opportunity to jump on.
And how many vets when you started there?
There's 26 of us. With a boarded surgeon, boarded internist, and now we have a criticalist as well.
And so, to be clear, you do not have your internship either.
No, I don't. So that's a good point, John. So I would have loved to, at least for my first year, stay back home, you know, in the Hamilton area, and work at some awesome emergency clinics, but you needed an internship in order to get in the front door of those clinics, right? I think that criteria has since changed a little bit, but out here, at this clinic, it was brand new. They were looking for vets that had only been operating for 2 or 3 years in the new building. And, you know, they were offering to take me right out of vet school. So that was probably the biggest reason for me jumping on that.
Excellent. And we have had the pleasure of working out of the same facility and knowing the same mentors and the challenges that are out of that hospital. And that's pretty impressive. When you talk to your OVC grads that may or may not have gone into internships, were they surprised that you went down that route and didn't go an internship and jumped right into what is an immensely busy, high quality practice?
Well, yeah. So my goal, or kind of my strategy, if I was to pursue an internship, would not to be pursuing a specialty per se, just to kind of be a kick-ass ER vet.
Yeah.
And, you know, to definitely do those internship programs in the greater Toronto area, and even out here, there's some great programs here. They do achieve that. My strategy was, you know, get into a facility with, you know, such a high volume of cases and good mentors that I could kind of get that similar experience without jumping into an internship and, you know, make an ER salary, which is a little bit more beneficial than an internship program too. Definitely, I would say to answer your question, my buddies would say, wow, that's kind of, you know, intense and a bit intimidating jumping into eMERGE. You know, even some of them today are kind of a little bit intimidated by working shifts there. But I was comfortable with who I met during my job shadow and comfortable enough with the clinic and how it operated that I wasn't going to be, you know, left to drown out there. And I was right.
Fantastic way to take the risk. And it's obviously paid off. Now, also in our pre-interview, we discussed what you need to do outside of that time. Because you're working at a really busy ER, GP practice, hybrid, everything coming at you, what do you do to balance that? What does that look like for Dan Katz?
And I got to jump in because you said the word intense. And I was just laughing because that's the best way. Like, I've only chatted with you a handful of times, Dan. And when last time we chatted, you were rattling off all of the things you're doing outside of your like eMERGE GP shifts. And I think intense is a phenomenal way of describing you, because like, you get after it. Like, I really respect it.
Thanks, guys. No, it's kind of in my blood, and my parents are the same way, but moving out here with student debt, it was kind of my only option at getting rid of that quite quickly. So yeah, my strategy, as far as intensity goes, so this is my schedule. I came and I worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days a week, 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I did that
hard shift.
So they were the hard shifts. You know, you're doing lots of emergency surgeries. There's only one or two of you after about, you know, 11 p.m. or so. So it forces you to learn. But, you know, the clinic I was at, we had the ability to call in one of the owners. If there was a, you know, a case that we felt we couldn't handle with what was going on at the clinic, just volume of cases and capacity for one or two veterinarians at that time. But yeah, and then, you know, back to the student debt thing.
Yeah, let's jump into that a little.
Yeah, sure.
If you're all right, if you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, so I basically started locuming at other clinics. Okay. A friend of mine worked at a clinic in Canmore, so I went up there looking for, and I didn't know there was two clinics at the time. So I walked in the clinic and say, you know, hey, I'm looking for, you know, Dr. Michaela, and out came someone who wasn't Dr. Michaela and said, can I help you? And I'm Dr. McAllister. I said, oh. So there was just a bit of a, you know, a mix up there. And
knowing you ended up at the wrong hospital by accident?
Yeah, I went to the wrong hospital because I didn't know
that. I love it. Good for you. How did you roll with that?
Well, she just, you know, it was kind of awkward for a second there. And what are you doing here? How do I know you? And I just said, I'm actually looking for this person. I didn't realize there was two clinics. You know, I'm fresh out here from Ontario. She was an OBC grad, so we got talking for 20 minutes. And then, you know, being a nosy guy, hey, can I look around? Can I see the hospital? And she happily showed me and said, you know, do you want to work here? We're looking for, you know, a locum in next month. So that's how it rolled into that. But, and then that locum, the locum, especially working in an emergency practice, you have intense shifts, but also lots of time off,
mm-hmm.
right? So 3 days off in a row, that gave me the ability to work elsewhere. So a few shifts at, you know, another referral center in the city, Canmore, Banff, just a good opportunity for me to get into the mountains, experience that, get side money to help pay down that student debt. I graduated with $50,000 in debt, which isn't terrible thanks to the amount of, you know, odd jobs I'd be doing before and after vet school.
How did that make you feel coming out of vet school with that much debt, which to some people is a lot, some people not as much, but hey, that's still a decent chunk of change.
Yeah. So when I was making my payments, at the bottom of the payment section, it tells you what you're paying as far as interest per month. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't handle that. Just seeing how much I was throwing away just to owe money. So I basically just hustled. It took me 11 months to pay it off.
11 months.
I wasn't scared. I think, you know, I had classmates who graduated with $250,000 in debt.
Yeah. So yeah. Depending on where you come from and what you've set up for, it's daunting. Oh, but even $50,000 at pop off in 11 months is amazing. You had to have had a plan or something in place, or did you know a time frame that you wanted to pay that off by in order to set up yourself for success? How did you do it?
Yeah, just kind of as soon as possible. So how did I do it? I had a roommate. I was paying $550 in rent, living in a basement. I was driving a car that I drove out here. It was a 2000 silver Jetta that I bought off my buddy for $1,000, and you know, just wearing all the same clothes, kind of living frugally, and just every penny I made, it was just, you know, banging down that student debt. So that's the only way I made sense of it in my head, was just to get rid of it as soon as possible. Just seeing what it cost me to carry it.
We applaud you.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. Like, good on you. And I was kind of making some notes, like in the time that I've got to know you, and like, you see opportunity everywhere. And that's the first time I've heard that story where you literally walked into the wrong veterinary clinic and got a job because there was an opportunity there. You know, like, I think that's so cool.
Totally. Because he could have just walked out the door and said, oh, no, I should be at a different practice.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Wrong practice.
Yeah. But you took yourself out there, put yourself out there, and in speaking with Dr. McAllister, got yourself a locum gig. And if I'm correct, you still have that as of, you know, now or recently with COVID, correct?
Yeah, that was 4 years ago. So I'm still there. I work in the summer times, summer and kind of over Christmas holidays. Basically,
they fly
cottages in Muskoka, which look unbelievable, and I kind of live in their homes in the mountains and run their clinic. So it's great. You know, it's a good way for me to make some extra cash. You know, be in the mountains and have just a completely different lifestyle from what I have in the city here. You know, just as far as hours and intensity of the work. So it's awesome.
Unbelievable. So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, what other, so I know, like, you work your veterinary shifts, you pick up locum shifts, but you also have side hustles. What other stuff do you get up to?
Yeah, we were talking about that last time. So
sure.
So yeah, side hustles. I've always been a guy who's got, you know, my hand in everything, doing lots of different things. I've got, currently I'm painting some furniture that I picked up for free off Kijiji that I'm, you know, selling for cash. I've got, I launched a laparoscopic spade business in 2018. I just saw an awesome opportunity when I moved out here to introduce that technology and that, that practice to the city.
Is that something that you had come into from Ontario already having that skill? Is that something that you learned on the fly? And also would like to know, how did you get the equipment? Cause that equipment's not cheap either.
Yeah. So where I train at OBC, the surgeon there, Amit Singh, awesome guy, became a buddy of mine throughout vet school. And he was really big into laparoscopic, you know, surgery. It was the standard of care. Everything was done minimally invasive if it could be, even the space. So then I came out here and I quickly realized that, you know, there was not many people offering that service and technology because I didn't know why at first. Was it just, you know, clinics didn't want to invest in it. They didn't believe in it. They were intimidated by the training and the expertise required to operate it. So I just phoned around a couple of clinics and found one guy who, you know, did operate the equipment. He had it. He bought a lap tower and it just happened that he was looking to sell it too. So we had talked for about, you know, a year, year and a half with myself and him. And I, you know, was going back to the practice that I work at to see if they'd be willing to invest in the technology. And cause I believed in it, you know, there's such a value to operate through a small little 12 millimeter port rather than a, you know, a 4 to 6 inch incision. So, you know, I pitched to the clinic. It was kind of one of those things where, yeah, you know, we'll look into it. Maybe. Year two, same thing. And then I got to a point where I was like, you know what, I paid off my student debt. Yeah. There's an opportunity here for me to do this on my own because I saw a business opportunity as well. Not only did I really believe in the technology and the medicine of it, but you know, if there was a business opportunity too for me personally, then I thought win-win. Where I was at, they were super keen on the idea. Reserved for me because they, you know, they wanted to make sure that I was not going to get burned and lose a ton of money. But yeah, to answer your question, how it worked is, you know, the gentleman was leaving right as I made the decision to enter in. So I bought his equipment from him.
Nice. The timing was there and you took hold of it. That's very impressive, especially for what would that be, 2 years out of school at that point?
2 years. Yeah.
2 years. That's very impressive. And that's a 99th percentile right there. If I can say anything, there's not too many people that would take that risk, let alone jump out there and say, hey, I'm going to try, not a new technique, but an advanced technique that is not commonly used in this city. So good on you.
Thanks. Yeah,
definitely. Switching gears a little bit, want to back up into your vet school experience. In our pre-interview discussion, you had discussed travel and how that came into being during your veterinary journey. And can you tell us a little bit more about that? You're not that long out of school. And yet when we were speaking, the passion and the excitement that I could hear you speak about and see you speak about was pretty impressive. And I think that's very relevant to our discussion today.
Even your first job, you were in Guatemala when you got the phone call. I was really laughing about that. Like, you've done a ton of traveling. It's so cool.
Yeah, I do love to travel, and I think I wish more vet students would take advantage of the opportunities to do that within vet school. You know, everyone's just so focused on getting those 90s, right? To, you know, so they sacrifice a ton of, you know, social time and travel time, and they just grind for 4 years through vet school. But
so you got 85s, 86s instead?
It was 89.
Yeah. 89, there we go. Perfect.
So yeah, with the travel grants, bursaries, I was president of a club called Global Vets at the Ontario Vet College, where we send volunteer second years to different countries. India, we had a Africa group, Central America, which I was part of, and we just volunteer our time. We fundraise, you know, like crazy for a year prior to the trip. So it ends up not costing you much out of your own pocket, just with the amount of fundraising that goes into it, and you're not going down there to get paid. You're volunteering all your time. So
is that something that you set up within the college? Is that something that was already in place at OVC and you took the lead on it? How did that come to be for OVC?
Yeah, the latter. So the program existed
globally. Okay.
Okay. And I knew I wanted to be a part of it. I had a bunch of friends who had gone through it the year prior and were just talking about it being the most amazing experience, you know, they had ever gone through. Not only like the travel aside, just the ability to volunteer and get experience. We have second years doing spays and neuters and pulling teeth and doing stitch ups. Yep. It just doesn't happen, you know, here, you know, in Canada. So had an absolutely incredible experience in Guatemala, Ecuador, and Belize. A classmate of mine, we traveled for 2 months after that. And I just kept in touch with everybody. And then 6 months later, I thought, what's stopping me from doing this on my own dime the next year?
Yeah.
So that's what I've done the past 4 years. I've gone somewhere and, you know, maintain these connections. And that's what awesome. They end up, a lot of them end up doing, you know, they take care of your housing. A lot of times your food, they'll take care of it all. You pay your flight, you go down there and you work. And then, you know, after the work experience is done, you're there. It's almost like a travel hack. You know, you're almost there already. So why not travel? So,
yep. So in that regards, when you're talking about it with your employer or, you know, cause you have to take time off, how do you schedule that? You know, you're a professional, you're a veterinarian. And I'm asking that from experience for those that may want to do this and don't know how, and also that expense, because hey, to go to Guatemala is not cheap if you're doing it on your own dime, if you're living the normal tourist world.
Totally. And that's, I would say that's a huge benefit of working the shifts that I do ER is I currently have a schedule where I do 8 of 9 days in a row and then I have 5 off. So my 5 off there, if I take 5 days, you know, I switch 3 shifts with a colleague, then I take four days vacation. All of a sudden you got a big chunk of time to go. And then again, with having a big clinic, I'm lucky enough where there's plenty of people to shift change with and to replace you when you're off. So one of the vets at our clinic, she goes to Grenada for a month every year, teaches at the college down there. So we kind of just fill in the gaps for her. That'd be much harder to deal with a smaller clinic, completely possible. But that's kind of been my strategy as far as expensing it. That's kind of why I do this locum stuff, is to kind of, you know, when I was getting my first few paychecks through the Emerge, you quickly, you know, you take off your tax and your CPP and all these, you know, medical contributions, and it's like, oh, what do I got left? So I kind of try to get a little bit more creative to try and expense that and budget that in by working at other clinics.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And you said it so well with the travel hack. Like, you're taking like a passion of yours, the contribution piece of going and volunteering, and then the passion of traveling, figuring out a way to do all of that at a really minimal expense and just making it happen. Like, I think that's incredible.
And making a difference in those communities, which again.
Yeah, you come back and it's like, you know, you just have this massive, massive feeling of reward, and you did so many good things, you know, like, you know, we had a dog with this massive ocular tumor. I'll never forget this. We removed the eye, and he was just the saddest looking little dog. And a month later, the director of the Humane Society goes and visits him and takes me a picture, you know, and sends it to me. And this dog is just bouncing around the yard, happy as ever, one eye. Yep. But it's like, oh, I'm so glad I, you know, was involved with that case. So you come back to the city and you just want to go back out there just because you realize how much need there is for that work, right? Just the street dog populations. I get called the one dog, you know, and she's laying there in the sand, eviscerated with her intestines on the sand, licking her intestines, you know, need help, right? So I tell people all the time when I'm a little bit more set in my profession, you know, a little older and grayer, kind of like you gentlemen.
Oh, he's gone there.
Well, we have to end the episode there on that note.
Yeah. We were doing so well, Dan.
When I finally got some money saved up and had the ability to step away from working such intense schedules, I'm going to be just volunteering and doing that all over the world. That's kind of what I live for. That's the passion for sure. Yeah.
Good for you. So you want to get a little bit more set. I'm going to change directions here a little bit then. It sounds like you have a plan, and we talked a little bit about this, and again, another impressive trait, which I'm actually going to take pieces of, I believe, but I want to know more about, is how do you plan this? This is not something that happens haphazard. So What does Dan Katz do to make this all possible? And what looks like from the outside really successful thus far in your career and life?
What's it you're referring to? The volunteer trips?
All of the above. The volunteer trips, the business, the hacking, the like these pieces don't come together by themselves. So I guess what I'm asking is, what do you do personally to make those a reality?
Yeah, so in my first few months of working, I remember, you know, you're fired up from school. You're just got back from, you know, a backpacking trip with three of my vet school buddies, had a blast, and we went to Honduras and Guatemala, and I come back and I'm all fired up to work. Yep. And I'm just looking around, you know, the office, and not everyone's as fired up as me. Not only that, but I just saw a lot of people who were kind of unhappy. You know, you can tell they like what they do, but there was a lot of people with kind of things missing from just being like happy and fulfilled. So, you know, I kind of said, well, this was that a pattern in this clinic. And it kind of one of those things that I think people who are just completely, you know, compassionately fatigued, they kind of have this aura about them that they're kind of just going through the motions. And I never wanted to do that. So part of my locum business is not only to, for, you know, monetary reasons, but also to free up, you know, work with different people, see how different things are done, work in a completely different environment. You know, kind of why I'm hustling so much, doing all these side jobs right now. I was just laying sod with a buddy of mine for his landscaping business. Is to have the ability to, what's the saying? It's, you know, if you're dependent on something, you will eventually resent it. So I don't want to be completely dependent on being a veterinarian and taking home all the money from that and just living. I want to have the ability to have different income streams to allow me to do different things. So that's why I've been involved in real estate and, you know, working at other clinics. That's kind of what I see as in the future, 10, 20 years from now, is I can have a little bit more freedom in my life by decisions I make now.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that you grew up with? Are those traits that your parents taught you and your siblings, or is this something that you're, you know, feel it innately, that is a characteristic of your personality? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So my dad has always been a proponent of, you know, every time you get a paycheck, you take some off and that goes into savings and you forget about it.
Okay.
I come from a working class family. My dad drove 2 hours to Toronto, there and back every day to rush home and take me to hockey along with my two other siblings. And my mom drove the school bus. So we, she's flipping stuff too. I talked to her yesterday and she picked up something off the side of the road. This metal looked like a bookcase. She spray painted and sold it on Kijiji. So
good.
The classic hand-me-down story. We're always, you know, finding ourselves being frugal as a family. But as far as the work ethic thing, yeah, both my parents, they've got a couple cottages on Lake Erie now that they've built just from grinding and working. Funny story about my mom, this shows you her work ethic, is my dad called me the other day. They were at the cottage and spent the day moving log piles. You know, they cut down some trees there by the water. And it's 4 a.m. and my dad, he wakes up and my mom's nowhere to be found. He looks outside and she's out in her nightie carrying logs at 4 a.m. because she couldn't sleep. So she's,
Wow.
Yeah, I probably get it more so from her. She's just, a hardworking lady for sure.
That's impressive. Wow. I'm going to have to get Dan's mom onto the show here now too. Teach us the ways. That is impressive. Yeah. So yeah. Then with that and, you know, not digging too deep, but where do you go to that in a planning setup? So you're 4 years out of school. Now you've got all these ideas, these hobbies, and as well as business ventures that you want to take forward. How do you do that? How does Dan Katz look at, you know, your view of life globally and then narrow it down a little bit? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think you have to get creative and find ways to use your DVM a little more strategically. You know, I think there's more to being a vet than throwing on a white lab coat and, you know, vaccinating cats and dogs. You can get different jobs that allow you to be creative. You can work emerge. You can locum. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm just I'm able to see opportunity in different things. And I also like variety. So I never want to get stuck doing the same thing over and over. As much as I love it, I know that that passion in 20 years, it can't be 100. Like right now it's 100. It can't be completely passionate about, you know, showing up to work every day and being a veterinarian. So I'm able to kind of forecast that and predict it. So the decisions I make now are super important to give me that opportunity to, you know, to kind of do a little bit less of that if I become less passionate. Yep. Something that, you know, I don't want to be dependent on. Again, what I said earlier, if you become dependent on something, you will eventually resent it. So I just never want to, I never want to be like that.
Man, that like, that's the first time I had heard, I've heard that sort of saying like that. And I think it's awesome. And listening to you, like you are so intentional, right? Like you are taking 100% responsibility, like for the outcome of your life, right? You're taking it in your own hands. You're not playing a victim card of like, oh, I don't make enough money, or I came out of school with a bunch of debt. You know, you just took charge of it all and went after it. I just respect that so much.
Yeah. Thanks. I think it's just kind of the entrepreneur inside me is just knowing that if you're just going to be an employee forever, you know, you're dependent on other people. You're got to always ask for a raise. You got to ask for a different shift change. But if you can do something like a side locum business, now you shift in the self-employed category. So you have different tax write-off advantages and, you know, there's so much more you can expense in that way. So, you know, I kind of got to a point where someone at work was mentioning how the salaries are capped at X at our clinic. I'm thinking, well, geez, if we're getting capped, how do you progress? Mm-hmm. So one of my thoughts is rather than focused on your salary, what about what you're taxed on the back end? So that's kind of another reason why this, you know, this self-employed locum business came to light. With a sole proprietorship is you're able to take advantage of that. And our professor, John Tate in school, he was big into getting that into our heads. So that's always been with me. So I thank him for that.
Again, more intentionality right there. And not just allowing what, you know, looks like on the surface to then impede your future. And not many people think, hey, how can I save on the back end on taxes as an employee in a vet clinic day to day? That's right. Not a regular conversation. I can guarantee that for many, many of those conversations. Fantastic.
Yeah. And yeah, as you aptly put it, to do this so young in comparison to us, like I know when I came out of vet school, I kind of had the blinders on, right? Like I'm a clinical veterinarian that works 9 to 5 and that's it. Those are my boundaries. And like to your credit, there are no boundaries in your world. Like, you know, you just go wherever you need to and get it done.
Well, again, I find a lot of people, they graduate vet school and they think that's all there is to it. But in and outside the DVM degree, you can do a ton within it for sure. Like, you know, the locum, you can, you know, I saw one of the girls bought an ultrasound machine. She's doing that on the side. At least for now, that may change in the future with different restrictions. It may become a little more, yep, you know, intentionally specialized. But for now, having that ability, you can get creative, you know, both within the DVM degree and outside too. So what do you want to do with it?
Yeah, that's one of the most exciting things that fires me up. We spoke about that in a couple interviews ago when Mike interviewed me, is the flexibility and ability to do different things within the veterinary industry is, in my view, unlimited to your scope and vision. We've all spoken about that before. Love it. Yep. Just have to see it. And sometimes that's hard. Your vision and you know, getting a little deep here for a second, does it put you off with other people, and or does it set you apart such that it sometimes feels lonely out there, you know, doing all these pieces while others may be going in a different direction?
No, I would say it's exciting because it makes you feel like you're, you know, you're accomplishing things. A buddy of mine from high school, he's now moved out here and, you know, he started up a landscaping business. He's helping me flip furniture. So we're just doing all these side stuff, having fun, you know, while we can. We've got energy and time on our hands right now. So, but no, I would say it's more so exciting. Just like you said, John, there's just so much opportunity. Something else I've been working on. So this locum business, I'm thinking, well, what's restricting me to Calgary? Why don't I go to Canmore and Banff? So I did that. And I'm thinking, well, can I go beyond this? I was, spent a lot of time in Palm Springs last year with, you know, with, my girlfriend at the time. So I thought, well, you know, can I get a license down here and come and you know, work a few days at a time during my off period. So looked into NAFTA. Sure enough, it was on that list. I got an immigration lawyer and, you know, wrote the California state exam. So that's in the works now too, is how cool would it be for me to be able to jump down to, you know, Palm Springs or LA, where I got a buddy working now, work at his clinic for a few days and fly back here. I think that's just, I love the variety. And again, you can just do so much with the degree if you just kind of think about it.
He's going to be coming back in February with a tan and getting paid for that tan. That's what's going to happen right there. That's
I love it. There's so many examples that keep coming up of this, but you just figure out what you want and then you just go do it, right? Like, you don't accept that, like, oh, I don't know how to do that, or I don't even know if it's possible yet. You just figure out a way and make it happen.
If it also doesn't work, then so be it. You move on to something else. It doesn't cost you anything.
Especially, you know, in the case of California, like, even for that licensing exam, that's something that most people shy away from, just from experience of hearing how hard it is to get into California. That's impressive. Most people, they balk just because of that.
Yeah. I mean, they said it would take 8 to 12 weeks. Here I am almost a year later, and I finally got the note, you know, saying you're good to go. So yeah, and the expense of it too, right? You got to pay for the exam fee. You got to pay for the license fee. You got to hire an immigration lawyer. You got all these expenses. But, you know, I think it's, if you kind of look long-term, that would be amazing for me to free up that ability to travel. And now I can expense my travel through my the business that I've set up, and, you know, play some golf down there while I'm there. That's kind of, to me, that's exciting about me, is just taking advantage of things you can do if you look hard enough.
Excellent. Well, we're coming near the end of our time together here. This has been a pleasure, Dan. Really like it. Uh-huh. And yeah, this has been, we could keep on going, that's for sure. But with that, we need to transition now and move into a segment that we are calling the Impact Round.
Okay.
So the Impact Round, short questions related, personal life, veterinary experience, and let's kick them off a little bit. Cool. So the first question, cat or dog person?
Last name's cats, got to say dogs.
Oh, we're both cat people. Yeah. We're losing so far. True or false? I knew I wanted to be a veterinarian since I was a kid.
True. Absolutely true.
Excellent. Anything else you ever thought of, or it was veterinarian since the beginning?
Well, I was forced to think about other things after my first semester of university. You know, I just got hammered with grades and thought, well, this isn't for me. I'm not getting to vet school with these grades, just because I didn't know how to study. And I was working hard, but wasn't getting the marks, and, you know, okay, just found ways to make that click. So yeah, at the time I was thinking, you know, let's explore physio, and I was looking at other things, but eventually just kind of refocused back on, you know, what I wanted to begin with.
And made it in. Nice. How would your friends describe what you do for a living?
Most of my friends would probably say that I'm in the clinic, you know, day to day, grinding overnight shifts, you know, working with puppies and kittens. The friends who really know me, though, know that that's kind of just a small part of my life, and I'm grinding, doing other stuff. Love being active and, you know, always looking for opportunities to grow and, you know, and make some money, you know, help with that, you know, the future. Just because one thing I'll say too, John, is, you know, when we stop working as veterinarians, there's no pension, there's no 401k, there's no retirement savings plan unless you create one. So my dad's been a big proponent of that for me, and has always forced me to think of that from day one. So that's why I'm working so hard now, is because I know it's going to dry up as soon as you stop, you know, throwing on that white lab coat.
Yep. What in this world are you most grateful for?
I would say having a close family, older brother, younger sister, new nephew now, mom and dad, we're all super tight. So that for sure.
Awesome. Last question. What is your favorite hobby?
Favorite hobby? It's got to be weight training, golf. Ooh. Buddies for sure. Those two things, definitely.
Getting the pipes going. He's still young. He's got that energy. I got to throw that in there.
Yeah, man.
Yep. Love it. Well, Dan, this has been a pleasure. Really enjoyed your company this afternoon and sharing some time with Mike and me.
Yeah, Dan. You're an inspiration, man. Like, I get inspired when I talk to you. I've only known you a short time, but it's just so cool chatting with you every time we do connect and hearing what you're up to. It makes me want to like step up more, you know, like that energy that you give off is fantastic.
Well, I'd say, you know, same goes to you guys, right? With when we met 2 years ago in Banff at Canwest, right? We were talking about other things and real estate, and you guys are still doing that with families now. So that's, to me, that's impressive, is how hard you guys are still grinding. This podcast is a great example, right? You don't have to do this, but so right back at you. Thank you.
Cheers. If people want to know more about Dan Katz, where should they go to? Where can they find you online, social media?
Yeah, so lapsbay.ca would be my surgical business. I've got Globetrotting Vet on Instagram. Quick side note, any vet student or vet looking to do some volunteer experiences in somewhere cool, I'm always doing trips. Let me know if you want them on board. As far as those experiences, you can find my blog, dkatzovc.wordpress.com.
Excellent. And we'll put all those in our show notes and make sure that people are aware where to get a hold of you. Last word goes to you. What message do you want to leave the veterinary community with today?
I would just say, you know, I would ask, you know, people to don't limit yourself to the DVM degree and what you can do within it, but also outside of it. And, you know, get creative and make the profession your own. You don't have to be stuck to a vet clinic, as amazing as that is. You know, make it your own.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for listening to the Veterinary Project Podcast. As a recap, on behalf of our hosts, the Veterinary Project Podcast will be releasing new episodes weekly. So be sure to tune in as we bring you more conversations aimed at helping you enjoy a life well lived. If you enjoyed what you heard on the show and you want to stay in the know, please like, love, and or subscribe to the podcast on the listening platform of your choosing, as we're available on all the usual suspects. If you know of others that may benefit from these conversations, we'd love it if you please share the show with them, as this will help us grow our community to reach more and more veterinary professionals. Speaking of which, if you are a veterinary professional and would like to get connected with more like-minded individuals who are joining us on this journey, please send an email to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll invite you to be a part of our private Facebook group. General feedback, requests for information, or perhaps requests to be a guest on the show can also be sent to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. Bye for now.